Simply Financial with Christopher Calandra, Certified Financial Planner, is an innovative, comprehensive, informative, and cutting-edge podcast that discusses financial topics ranging from personal finance, economics, politics, and personal growth. Simply Financial will cover intriguing and thought-provoking questions so that the listener can simply increase their financial IQ.
Thanks for joining me today for the Simply Financial podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Calandra, and this is season 3, episode number 15. So today I wanted to talk about, as you're reaching retirement, what do you do? Now what? You've worked hard your whole life, and you're anticipating the day you finally retire. And as that day approaches, you're going to need to carefully handle your nest egg, and you have some key decisions to make. So let's talk a little bit about what some of those decisions are. First off, you need a spending plan, and you need to spend wisely. You really have to avoid outliving your money. That's a tremendous risk. It's something that's certainly avoidable. You want to have a good lifestyle, not only early in your retirement, but also later in your retirement. We don't know how long a life expectancy you have, but if you retire at, say, age 65, statistically, you have 18 to 20, maybe even 22 years statistically. That's 20 plus year timeline. You're going to need your nest egg and your income to work for you. So you want to have a plan for spending that increases the chances or negates the chances you avoid outliving your money. And one of the temptations that you're going to need to fight against is to draw out too much money too soon in retirement, putting pressure on your nest egg. So number one is spend wisely. Number two is to deal with debt. I am a big believer, as I've said in other podcast episodes, and I say to clients all the time, I am of the belief that you want to enter into retirement debt-free if at all possible. It's way better if you're debt-free earlier. Personally, I plan on being debt-free way before I retire. But as you approach retirement, if you have debt, you want to deal with that debt, because that is going to either create spending that you need to do in retirement. It's going to have to be dealt with at some time. So deal with your debt and probably have a plan, ideally before you retire, to pay off of that debt. If you have to take it into retirement, then you want to budget that, and that becomes part of the spending we talked about in item number one. Number three is you want to understand your retirement plan distribution options. There are a variety of retirement accounts out there. It's great job security for certified financial planners like myself, because each of them have their own nuances, their pros, their cons, and some of the income distribution rules for each of them are different. So it does require a little bit of work to plan that out. So you have pensions. If you are working for a company and you're eligible for a pension, you might have a number of choices to make, including taking a lump sum. You could take a life income pension, which means that they'll give you a monthly check for the rest of your life, but it's based only on your life. And if you pass away, that payment will stop. That sounds wonderful. And it can be. One problematic part of that, though, is if you are married and you pass away, especially early in retirement, your spouse would no longer get that income. So many pensions have another choice on top of the lump sum choice and on top of the life income, and that's life with survivor benefits. So that if you pass away, your spouse can get either the same payment or maybe 75% of the payment, or it could be 50%. So those are some of the decisions and choices you'll have to make with the pension. There's fewer and fewer pensions out in the marketplace today compared to in generations past, but we still see them a lot, and it's a key decision. Many people will opt to take a lump sum and to take their money, and instead of taking the guaranteed lifetime, they'll take their pension, they'll roll it over to an IRA, manage the money themselves, create their own income. That does give them more flexibility, but it's a significantly different choice than taking a pension and getting the monthly check. You have 401ks. 401ks have a lot of money in it. It's the retirement vehicle of choice for employers and has been for many, many years now. But retirement plan distributions from 401ks can be problematic. Just think about it. The 401k is really an accumulation platform. It is built and constructed with the idea that it wants to help employees build money in their retirement accounts, and it enables employers to contribute for the employees. It's really an accumulation vehicle. So in some instances, depending on how the 401k is structured, and an employer has many decisions on how it is structured, it may be easy to get income out or it may not be so easy, but that's something you have to deal with. Next, you have IRAs, Roth IRAs, there's annuities, you may have old money purchase plans. There's a variety of retirement options that you may have money in. You may have money in one, you may have money in multiple, but number three is understand your retirement plan options. You don't want to make a mistake on this front. Number four is plan for required distributions. I talked about this at some length in season 2, episode 36, which was titled The Exciting World of Required Minimum Distributions. That sounds a little bit like a marketing term, the exciting world of required minimum distributions. But just know this simply is that when you get to age 70 and a half, you have to take a required minimum distribution from your pre-tax retirement accounts, such as traditional 401ks and traditional IRAs. So what ends up happening is there's a formula that the IRS has. The formula is based on your account balance at year end plus your age. And there's a percentage that you have to take out of the retirement account each year so that you could pay income taxes on it at both the federal level as well as the state level if that's applicable. So when you're planning your income, you want to have an awareness of the required distributions for pre-tax monies. You'll notice that I'm saying pre-tax monies. Roth IRAs and Roth 401ks are not subject to required minimum distributions. When you get to retirement age, which the IRS deems as 59 and a half, you can take money out of your retirement accounts. And so when you get to 70 and a half, pre-tax retirement accounts, you have to take a minimum out. But that's not the case for Roth IRAs. This trips people up a lot of times. There's some confusion in the marketplace about this. But I want you to know that Roth IRAs are not subject to required minimum distributions. You can take money out if you want to, but you're never required to. Number five, and this is a big one, know your Social Security options. It's one of the most key decisions you have as you approach and enter into retirement. When are you going to begin taking Social Security? Normal retirement age, depending on the year you were born, is either age 66 or 67. And so that's normal retirement age. But you can take Social Security as early as age 62. If you do that, you're going to get less than you would have gotten at normal retirement age. And there's a formula that will tell you. The maximum reduction, if you took Social Security at the earliest possible date, you would get 30% less than you would have gotten if you waited until normal retirement age. So taking Social Security early is a possibility. It's worth considering. You have normal retirement age. Again, that's either age 66 or 67, depending on the year you were born. You'll also have the option of not taking Social Security at normal retirement age and waiting until full retirement age, which is 70. And if you wait, you will get more Social Security benefit than you would have gotten at normal retirement age. How much more? It's actually 8% more per year. Your benefit goes up by 8% per year that you wait. So you have a couple of choices on when you take Social Security. If you're dealing with a husband and wife situation, you could decide to do one thing for one, but something different for the other. You also want to factor in the potential taxation of Social Security. If you're still working and earning income, some of your Social Security may be subject to income taxes, so that needs to get factored in as well. I will say, in short, I personally, philosophically, am a believer in taking Social Security sooner rather than later, with the understanding that we're talking about when you stop working full-time, and part-time might be a little bit different. But once you retire and you essentially leave the workforce, although you may work part-time, which we're going to talk about next, I'm not a big believer in waiting until age 70. I'm only 48, but I project out that I will take Social Security probably sooner rather than later. We could talk about that at length. If you are confronted with a decision on when to take Social Security, I would love to talk to you about that. Call us. The toll-free number is 888-959-5904. Call me if you're a client and want to talk about that. But if you're not a client, feel free to call. You could also go to the website, www.elliottwealth.com. And on the site, you could request a complimentary consultation where we could talk about the Social Security decision as well as anything else pertaining to your goals and objectives and how we might be able to help you win with money. So please keep that in mind. Sixth, and the last point I want to make is consider phasing into retirement, which is a fancy way of saying shift from full-time to part-time. I like to use the term a glide path into retirement. There's some financial benefits to doing this because you continue earning money, not as much as you might have been doing when you were working full-time, probably not as much. But that might mean that you don't have to touch your nest egg. You don't have to initiate Social Security. You don't have to start your pension maybe because you're working part-time. Or maybe you have to take less out of your nest egg because your retirement income is being supplemented with your part-time job. That's increasingly popular in today's American economy. I know my father, for example, he glide-pathed into retirement, and for several years he worked 3 days a week. He would have Mondays and Fridays off, essentially giving himself a five-day weekend. That was a really good financial decision for my mom and my dad. But there was also an emotional benefit, because if you've gone to work 5 days a week, working 40 to 60 hours for several decades in a row, it might be, and for many people, it's an adjustment when you stop working. It's a huge life event, and the adjustment to having more leisure time, more free time, can be difficult. Socially, it could be challenging. Finding hobbies is not easy for everyone. So I know from my dad's instance, it was a blessing, not just financially, but also emotionally, because candidly, I don't think he was ready to have no work in his life. But after doing 3 days a week, he built up just kind of a system for his life on what he would do, whether it was with friends, family, hobbies, reading, travel, whatever the case is. So there's some great emotional benefits to glide pathing into retirement. Might make it easier than just ripping the Band-Aid off. I know retiring seems so exciting that one day you don't have to work. I feel like that many days myself. But for many people, it might not be easy. And glide pathing into retirement financially as well as socially and emotionally might be beneficial. Thanks for joining me today. Again, go to the website or call the office. We could talk about any of these items. Also, please know that we would love it if you could subscribe to the podcast and recommend that friends, family, and coworkers subscribe to the Simply Financial podcast. Thanks again. I will be back with you very soon.
The views expressed are not necessarily the opinion of Sage Point Financial Incorporated and should not be construed directly or indirectly as an offer to buy or sell any securities mentioned herein. Investing is subject to risks, including loss of principal invested. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. No strategy can assure a profit nor protect against loss. Please note that individual situations can vary. Therefore, the information should be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Please note, the information being provided is strictly as a courtesy. When you link to any of the websites provided here, you are leaving this website. We make no representation as to the completeness or accuracy of the information provided at these websites, nor is the company liable for any direct or indirect technical or system issues or any consequences arising out of your access to your use of third-party technologies, websites, information, and programs made available through this website. When you access one of these websites, you are leaving our website and assume total responsibility and risk for your use of the websites you are linking to. Securities and advisory services are offered through SagePoint Financial Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC, insurance services offered through Elliott Wealth Management, LLC, not affiliated with SagePoint Financial.
Simply Financial is part of the Exvadio Podcast Network. You can find Exvadio Podcasts at exvadio.com/podcast, the Apple Podcasts app, iTunes Store, iHeartRadio app, Spotify, Stitcher, and wherever you find podcasts. So join us and stay informed and entertained.